The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our gospel lesson for the day, from Matthew chapter 6, and especially these words. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you watched the news lately? Every story talks about the decreasing value of the dollar, the meager gains of the stock market, the ever-increasing price of crude oil. Have you been to the grocery store lately? Every aisle is filled with milk that's almost $4 a gallon, eggs that are no longer that cheap meal that they used to be, and bread that's priced as if it was milled with gold. Have you done any traveling in your car lately? Every short trip seems to make a deep dent in your wallet. Every fill-up leaves you wondering how much more it will cost next time you have to fill up. And every commute to work digs into more of that income you're trying to bring in. Yes, income seems to remain stagnant. Groceries need to be bought. College educations have to be paid. Retirement goes closer and closer. Mortgages increase. Rent is raised. Utility costs are skyrocketing. And the list goes on and on. Yes, most money experts know what those people gathered around the kitchen table know. Money right now seems for many people to be more a source of anxiety than it is a source of sustenance. It is in the midst of this reality today that Jesus comes and stands. Yes, he stands in the midst of a sputtering economy. He stands in the midst of struggling families. He stands over each one of those kitchen table discussions. And what does he do when he comes? Does he stimulate the economy? Does he give his people lottery wins so that all their money troubles will be over? Does he at least pay a few of the bills that are in that stack on the table? No, Jesus, as he comes to stand amidst all of these things, speaks. Unless we think that's sort of an underwhelming thing to do based on the situation, remember that God, by his speaking, created all things. Remember that God, by his speaking, redeemed all things. And that God, by his speaking, will one day make all things new. Today, through God's word, he renewed in Brian and Jose the faith in their hearts and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, God's word is powerful stuff. So let us not think lightly of him speaking. But what exactly does Jesus say in the midst of all of these troubles that we hear about and that we know? Well, to be honest, he starts off in our text with some fairly stern words. He starts off by saying that no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. When we hear these words, especially in these tougher economic times, it's easy to get very defensive. It's easy in our hearts to say back to God, I'm not serving money. I'm just trying to pay the bill. But Jesus does not simply back off. No, Jesus makes clear that this whole topic is a first commandment issue. He makes clear that this is about having no other gods before him. He makes clear that this is about fearing, loving, and trusting in him above all things. As Jesus reminds us today, that our anxieties about money are a sign that we are placing our fear, our love, and our trust in money instead of in God. For if truly all of our fear, love, and trust was in God above all things, then the changing economic indicators would not affect us at all. The very fact that our emotions are tied up to what economics is doing is a sign that our emotions are misplaced. Indeed, letting our emotions be tied to things like the stock market, our bank accounts, or even just the amount of money in our wallet or front pocket is evidence that at least part of us is serving money and not God alone. God calls for us today, then, to leave behind such idolatry. He calls for us to cling to Him alone. He says to us exactly what He said to those people some 2,000 years ago. He says, do not be anxious about your life. And again, at first, His words seem a little out of touch with reality. Has He not seen the heating bill, or soon the air conditioning bill? Does He not know how much more it costs to feed a family these days? Can He at least go and look at how the price posted at the local gas station seems to go up each day? How can He look at us with a straight face and say, do not be anxious about your life? He can say it because He knows that if we will listen to His advice, our anxiety will dissipate, our worries will weaken, our peace will be procured. As He knows that if we will fear, love, and trust in Him above all things, we will be just fine. Every day, birds fly over each of your homes, I suppose. And every day, they are taken care of by that one who dwells far above their soaring path. You see, birds, they don't plant. Birds don't harvest. Birds do not take things they have gathered and put them into barns. So the birds of the air live each day trusting in the mercy of God to provide them what they need each day to survive. Their winged flight, we could say, sort of prays, give us this day our daily bread. And as they pray that, God indeed answers that prayer, giving them exactly what they need each day. He provides their daily bread. And you know what? No matter what the environmentalists will try to convince you of otherwise, God cares a lot more about you than He does about the birds. Oh, sure, God loves the birds that He has made as well. But Scripture makes clear that there is nothing He loves any more than those He calls humans, especially those who call Him their Heavenly Father. So this summer, each time you see one of those birds flying outside, be reminded of this. If those birds are still flying, God is still watching over their needs. And if God is still watching over the needs of those birds, He's watching over yours as well. Not only is He watching over them from a distance, but He has promised to provide the things that we need as well. And if we will truly grasp onto that truth, we are then free to do the last thing that Christ calls us to do with our lives. He says, instead of worrying about money, we can spend our days and our nights seeking first His kingdom. For Jesus promises that if we will seek first His kingdom, all of those other things that we need will be taken care of. But how many of us actually spend time during the day seeking the kingdom of God? How many of us make sure that we spend time every day in His Word and in prayer? How many of us give generously to this church so that we can continue to have all of the gifts of the kingdom showered upon us here? How many of us take the talents that God has given to us and seek out, actively seek ways that we can use those talents not only to provide for our families, but also to work for the kingdom of God. How many of us make time each day to make sure that we are seeking God's kingdom by nurturing one another in the faith and by sharing that faith with others? You see, the kingdom of God is not about attending church. It's not about making sure we get here on Communion Sunday. It's not about being a member on the rolls of some church somewhere. Seeking first the kingdom of God is rather the gracious activity of the Holy Spirit that He does in our lives. It happens when we depend upon God for all things. And when we realize that He has chosen, strangely enough, to depend upon us for the furthering of His kingdom. Yes, seeking first the kingdom is receiving our blessings as gifts that can be used for His glory. It's going into the workplace realizing that we are not there just to be another person there at the job site, but that we are there in God's direction and His leading. It's dealing with our family and our peers and our friends with true compassion for them and their needs. Seeking first the kingdom of God is quite simply living out the first commandment. It indeed is trusting God to the point where we understand that our whole life is God. It's not only understanding this truth with our minds, but letting it sink into our hearts and then flow out through all of our words and our deeds and our actions. How much more of a blessed life would each of you, would I have, if we spent our lives seeking first the kingdom of God rather than sitting around worrying all the time about money? What if we thought about the kingdom first and cash second? What would that look like in our lives? What if we all did it together? What would that mean for our church here at St. Paul's? What if our actions here at St. Paul's were not based on what it would cost to accomplish something, but rather on what goals that God has set for us as a congregation to accomplish? If we lived in that way, would this church go broke? Would the members supporting it not be able to feed their families anymore? How ludicrous to think that if we would seek first the kingdom of God, that He would not provide for our needs. Well, I shouldn't say how ludicrous. The word that Christ used for it is how faithless. The question is this: does Jesus, when He looks down upon His church today, have to say the same thing that He said to those people in those words recorded in Matthew 6? Does He look at us today and say, "O ye of little faith, why do you worry about all of these things?" The unbelievers, they worry about their bank accounts and what they'll wear and what they'll eat. But don't you know your Heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things? Yes, today we must get off our knees where we have knelt at the idol of money. We must no longer place our fear, our love, or our trust in such things. We must realize that our worrying about our finances is truly a sign that our faith is not flourishing as it should. And indeed today, if we will leave behind our idols, then God indeed will give to us again all of His grace and mercy. If we can believe in our hearts what we just say with our mouth, that all depends upon possessing God's abundant grace and blessing, then we'll have it. We'll have His grace and His blessing and everything else we need as well. Yes, Christ will forgive us of our sins. He will lift up our heads and our spirits that are weary from worrying. He will give us that peace that passes all human understanding. And when He does that, we'll be free to seek the kingdom of God, to seek it in a way that seems quite reckless to those who are worried about money. And in so doing, God's kingdom will come indeed. So don't let the newspapers or the evening news scare you. Do not be discouraged as you travel around in your car. Don't let the food prices at the grocery store shake you. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need, and He will give it to you. He's given you His only begotten Son. It's only natural to understand that He will give you all of those smaller things you need as well. Because of His grace, you are free. Consider the verb. Seek first the kingdom. Amen.